Thank you, Allison. And good evening. Can you hear me? No. Can you hear me now? Can anybody hear me? I have no control over this thing. As Allison said, I come from the Northeast and lived for many years in the part of Vermont where she also lived up in the North. And I wrote about that country and about the people there, and my first poem is called Regarding Chainsaws. The first chainsaw I owned was years ago, an old yellow McCulloch that wouldn't start. Bo Bremer gave it to me, that was my friend, though I've had enemies, couldn't have done no worse. I took it to Ward's, over to Morrisville, and no doubt they tinkered it as best they could, but it still wouldn't start. One time later, I took it down to the last bolt and gasket and put it together again, hoping somehow I'd do something accidental-like that would make it go, and then I yanked on it 450 times, as I figured afterwards, and give myself a bursitis in the elbow that went 5 years, even after Doc Arrowsmith shot it full of cortisone and near killed me when he hit a nerve dead on. Old Stan wanted that saw, wanted it bad. Figured I was a greenhorn that didn't know nothing and he could fix it. Well, I was, you could say, being only 40 at the time. But a fair hand at tinkering. Stan, I said, you're a neighbor. I like you. I wouldn't sell that thing to nobody, except maybe Vice President Nixon. But Stan persisted. He always did. One time, we was loafing and gabbing in his front dooryard, and he spied that saw in the back of my pickup. He run quick inside, then come out and stuck a double sawbuck in my shirt pocket, and he grabbed that saw and lugged it off. Next day, when I drove past, I seen he had it snugged down tight with a tow chain on the bed of his old Dodge Power Wagon, and he was yanking on it with both hands. 2 or 3 days after, I asked him, how are you getting along with that McCulloch, Stan? Well, he says, I took it down to scrap, and I buried it in 3 separate places yonder on the upper side of the potato peat. You can't be too careful, he says, when you're disposing of the hex. The next saw I had was a god-awful ancient home light that I give Dry Dryden $30 for. Temperamental as a ram, too, but I liked it. It used to remind me of Dry and how he clapped that saw a couple times with the flat of his double-blade axe to make it go, and how he honed the chain with a worn-down file stuck in an old baseball. I worked that saw for years. I put up 45 run them days each summer and fall to keep my stoves hot through the winter. I couldn't now. It'd kill me. Of course, they got these here modern Swedish saws now that can take all the worry out of it. What's the good of that? Takes all the fun out, too, don't it? Why, I reckon. I mind when Jill's Bovine snagged an old sap spout buried in a chunk of maple, and it tore up his mouth so bad he couldn't play tee for two on his cornet in the town band no more. And then when Toby Fox was holding a beech limb that Rob Bowen was bucking up, and the saw skidded crossways and nipped off one of Toby's fingers. Ain't that more like it? Makes you know you're living. But mostly they want dangerous, and the only thing they broke was your back. Old Stan, he was a buller and a jammer in his time, no two ways about that. But he never saw it himself. Stan had the sugar all his life, and he wasn't always too careful about the diet and the injections. He lost all the feeling in his legs from the knees down. One time, he started up his power wagon out in the barn, and his foot slipped off the clutch. And she jumped forward, right through the wall and into the manure pit. He just sat there, swearing like you could have heard it in St. Johnsbury, till his wife come out and said, "Stan, what's got into you?" "Missus," he says, "ain't nothing got into me. Can't you see? It's me that's got into this here pile of shit." Not much later, they took away one of his legs, and 6 months after that, they took the other and left him sitting in his old chair with a tank of oxygen to sip at whenever he felt himself sinking. I remember that chair. Stan reupholstered it with an old bearskin that must have come down from his great-great-grandfather and had grit in it, left over from the Civil War, and a bullet hole as big as a yawning cat. Stan latched the pieces together with rawhide, cross-fashion, but the stitches was always breaking and coming undone. About then I quit stopping by to see old Stan, and I don't feel so good about that neither. But my mother was having her strokes then. I figured one person coming apart was as much as a man can stand. Then Stan was taken away to the nursing home, and then he died. I always remember how he planted them pieces of spooked McCulloch up above the potatoes. One time I went up and dug, and I took the old sprocket, all pitted and et away, and set it on the windowsill right there, next to the butter mold. But I'm damned if I know why. Thank you. Thank you. That poem is in the speech of northwestern Vermont, the Champlain Valley. Two levels of speech. The speaker in the poem is literate. Stan is probably not literate.